Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
It's all right. It's all right. Maybe we're just having a friendly little argument.
I may have to love you, but that doesn't mean I have to like you.
There's a fine line between mothering and smothering.
You're doing a great job.
I've made a lot of mistakes, but I think I did the best thing for you.
I'm sorry for what I said.
I keep telling you over and over again, don't do it, don't do it. Why do you do that?
I'm Jim Burns. Well, if I told you that there's a 90% chance of rain today, well, you'd probably make sure to grab an umbrella before heading outside, wouldn't you? Well, what if I told you that if you listen to today's program, you apply the things we discuss, there's a 90% chance that you'll see success in resolving conflict with your spouse and your kids? Well, that's the claim that my guest today makes. He's best-selling author Dr. Gary Smalley, and he's here to help us fine-tune our relationships. So stay tuned.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Did you know that since 2003, 20 APU students and 5 APU faculty members have been named Fulbright Scholars? They've accepted grants to conduct research or teach English in countries like Romania, Jordan, Andorra, and Korea, and we are so very, very proud to have those alumni serving us in the Fulbright capacity. If you'd like to learn more about Azusa Pacific University and Homeward's relationship with the school, you can visit our online resource center at homeward.com, or you can go to apu.edu and learn more about that. On today's program, one of our classics, a best of conversation Dr. Jim Burns recorded a couple of years ago with Gary Smalley, talking about fine-tuning your relationships. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and today I'm smiling. We have the privilege to have Gary Smalley with us. We're talking about fine-tuning your relationships. Gary Smalley has written a wonderful book called The DNA of Relationships. Before the program, I was telling him that Kathy and I are working through this book right now, and it's a great book. Gary, thank you so much for being on our program.
Hey, thank you. I love it.
Well, I sure appreciate you over the years. 14 million books and videos and growing. How does that feel to know that people, actually, you write something and you say something and people read and watch you?
It's like having a baby in one sense. I'm on to a new one, mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm always a little bit surprised when somebody walks up to me and says, hey, I read this or that book, because we have over 35 of them now.
Isn't that something?
So I love it, and actually at some point in our interview, we can talk about some of my weaknesses, if that's what God has actually used to turn what I do into something that's successful.
Isn't that, that is great. I was reading your book this weekend at a tire store.
Oh.
The Burns family needed tires.
Yeah.
And there were a number of us waiting for the tires. And it was amazing to me. I could tell there were Christians and non-Christians alike who were talking about, you know, Gary Smalley and how you'd affected their life. So, you know, even in a tire store there in Southern California. Life is relationships, and
yes,
the rest is just details.
Right.
Love that statement.
Yeah.
Talk about that for a minute.
Okay. Well, we recognize that God has created us to be in relationships from the time we're born. And if I could summarize just for a second, amazing thing I've been learning this year is that the brain has a section of it that's connected to almost every other part of our brain, and it's wired to be in relationship. And when we're born, we hunger mm-hmm. for relationships mm-hmm. as much as we do a food and water.
Awesome.
And so if we don't get it, it actually, if we don't have an emotional connection with a human within the first 2 weeks, our brain is actually damaged in that section, and we have problems the rest of our life, even if we live, because there's evidence that many people do not live if they don't get a human connection. But a brain doesn't get organized. But the main thing I'm saying here is that the neuroscientists have discovered that there's a brain DNA section that is driving us to be in relationships from birth on.
Yeah.
And even as an adult, our brain is negatively affected if we're not in a meaningful relationship. So we just realize that everything we do involves relationships. So our brain is wired that way, and that's why we call it the DNA. God wants his relationship with him, others, and ourselves. And this whole book is about those three relationships.
Right. And, you know, the information in the book, fascinating enough, with the information, there's a 93% success rate when applied to marriages on the brink of divorce. At least that's what you guys have experienced.
Right.
Talk about that for a minute. You kind of stumbled across it.
Okay, that's the basis of this book is that for 8 years now, my son has a whole team of clinicians, licensed psychologists, that found six different truths that when they share it with a couple already divorced or just about to divorce, they do them usually at five at a time for 4 days, or one couple at a time for 2 days, and they have a over 90% success rate in keeping them together, and later they thrive in their relationship because they have a 72% increase in marital satisfaction.
And that's something.
And so that's been going on for over 8 years. They have over 1,000 couples that they've impacted. Chick-fil-A actually helps fund this. They have another center in Rome, Georgia, that actually was built by Chick-fil-A that my son uses in conjunction with them, so that anybody who eats at a Chick-fil-A, you know, some of that money is going to save marriages in America, and that's part of their corporate position. So anyway, that's what happened. Well, my son started explaining these six things to me 3 years ago, flat out totally changed my life. I am not the same. My new level of relationship with God and myself and others is so different today than it was 3 years ago that's why I was compelled to write this book. It's really stuff he taught me. That's why he was involved in writing it with me, along with Dr. Bob Paul, who is one of the key inventors of much of this material.
Well, that is really interesting. I know in your book you did talk about a season in your life where you had some relationships even with some peers, and it wasn't going well, and you took some of this material, and it really has helped. What was some of the material that was most effective for you in terms of building back into that?
I lost two really great, good friends in the 80s. They were like closer than brothers. We were just so close. But in chapter 3 of this book, The DNA of Relationships, I got my core fear pushed by both of them at separate times. And I had no idea I had a core fear. I didn't even know that it was existed, didn't know anything about it. Well, my son explains this whole thing to me, and I go, you know, my mouth drops, and I realize that's why I lost those relationships back in the 80s. So that I actually started 2 or 3 years ago, I started emailing them and trying to understand why we got into this mess, because we were really separated. We weren't contacting each other anymore at all. And we went back and forth as lost friends, back and forth on email several times. And I remember the last time I got this email from the one main person where he said, I now feel totally free, open. I feel like we're friends again. Because I applied what I had learned in Chapter 3. It's called Our Core Fear. In fact, if you want to get into it, that is so life-changing that it's just amazing what it does in a marriage or in a family or a friendship just overnight.
Well, let's talk about this fear dance that you talk about.
Right. That's what it is. And so here's basically what's behind this. We have discovered that everybody has a core fear, or two or three or more. But there's usually one or two main ones. Like, for example, my son has discovered that when we grew up with our parents or friends or relatives or whoever we were in contact with regularly, a coach, everything we thought and everything that happened to us was written on our heart. So that if we were in an abusive situation, like my dad was very controlling, very, very degrading. He was so unhappy, but I didn't know that as a kid. I mean, I couldn't isolate that fact as a little kid that my dad is a sick person emotionally. You know, I didn't know that at all. I just figured that he was normal and I was in bad shape. I must have been a terrible kid. So he used to control me, like we'd go fishing. He taught me how to fish. If I was catching fish, and sometimes we fished all night long, which was really difficult because he made me do this, I'd be catching fish in one spot on a log out in this lake we fished at, and he'd come over and shove me out of the way and say, hey, find another spot. And I'd say, hey, I'm catching fish here. He'd say, find another spot. This is now my spot. And he'd say some smart thing to me about how dumb I was or something. And then my older brother always told me how dumb I was and called me gummer, because when I smile, all you basically see is my gums, you know. And I still remember these things. Those are all written on my heart.
That's something, yeah.
Okay, so now, today, as an adult, I am very sensitive to being controlled, very, very sensitive about being belittled. So that's my core fear. My son has isolated like 24 of them. I think we give 17 in the book. And it's a pretty simple test to take to figure out getting close to what you think your core fear is. But it's so easy to figure out after a while, because you know when you're kind of getting hurt inside and wanting to explode and defend yourself and change that other person. I mean, if you start looking at it, you'll find it in a hurry. Well, what happens is, a typical husband or wife, so it can start with either one, will say something that pushes their mate's core fear. Like if my wife controls my driving from time to time, and see that I have this little tiny explosion inside thinking, there she goes again, she's controlling me, you know, and I feel irritated and desirous of getting her to change her behavior so she doesn't continue to do this. Well, what happens usually is that I will say something to her like, hey, has it ever helped to remind me that I'm not driving safe or whatever? I've had a wreck, you know, would you please stop this? Well, when I say that, that almost always pushes her core fear, because her core fear is not doing something right. So if I'm over a few miles over the speed limit or whatever, that's wrong to her, you know, and she hates breaking a rule, and so she'll say something about it. But now I'm correcting her, so I'm telling her she's wrong and not doing it right. So now she's upset and wants to change me.
You got
so
two core fears colliding.
Exactly. That's exactly what the fear dance is. And then she'll say something to me, try to change me, and then I react and try to change her more, and then we just escalate. And I've gone on a date with her where we've escalated right out of control, turned around, and gone home, not speaking to each other.
Yeah. Well, you're actually talking about a number of relationships. But listen, we need to take a break.
All right.
Going to be right back,
okay,
and we'll continue talking about this fear dance, because you're hitting a core issue in marriages. You're hitting a core issue with relationships and with kids.
Boy, that's a big one. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in a conversation he recorded a couple years ago, actually, with author Gary Smalley. Gary was the author of the book, The DNA of Relationships, which is still a book that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. And today on the program, we're talking about fine-tuning your relationships, because we know that not every relationship is perfect, but not all of them are beyond repair. And if you've listened to Jim and Gary talking about that dysfunctional fear dance, we're going to unpack that a little bit more for you on the other side of this break. Homeward is here to serve you in your marriage relationship, in your co-parenting relationship, in your relationship with your children or grandchildren. We have resources for you. Visit our online resource center today at homeward.com if you're not there already. I say not there already because some people are streaming audio with us each and every day. You can hear this radio program on the radio and also online as well. And you can listen without cost. So check us out online at homeward.com.
We have so many things to get done each week. It feels like my husband and I are more like business partners than married.
It seems like our family is always on the go. But my wife and I feel closer to each other now than we did when we first got married 20 years ago.
You've probably noticed that some couples can be involved in tons of activities and not really seem to be burdened by them. At the same time, there are other marriages that really don't do well when they're faced with too many demands from the outside. It's a fact, each marriage has its own pace or tempo. The key is to find the rhythm that works best for your own marriage and then stick with it. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. Too many married couples are burning out on marriage because they're trying to keep up with a standard that's just not healthy for them. Follow the example of Jesus. In the Bible, we read that he often had lots of things going on, but he was never anxious or in a hurry. Discovering your pace as a couple is just one way to create intimacy in your marriage. And for a free copy of my tip sheet called Creating an Intimate Marriage, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking with Dr. Gary Smalley, fine-tuning your relationships, and what a great subject this is. Gary Smalley is with us today, 14 million books and videos and counting. Gary Smalley has written so many books and so many books that have been influential in my life. Gary, you were talking about the fear dance, and
Yes. Boy,
you are having people pull off the side of the road right now and stop because they've had that conflict, you know, this week. Keep us going with this
okay.
fear dance, because right. I know that there's some answers to the fear dance
right.
as well that are actually pretty simple if we just
sure
apply
they
it.
Are. They really are. Well, the first thing is to recognize that you have a core fear, to recognize that when people push it, you're going to be upset and want to change them because you don't like the feeling inside, the hurtful, discouraging feeling that you have when somebody's pushing your core fear. Your core fear could be rejection. It could be any number of 17 different things that we list in there. And it's just important to look at it and say, I wonder which one is mine. And then, but here's the whole key. You can never change that other person. Once you give up trying to change people, life just changes for you overnight. Let me give you a great example of this. For 38 years, I tried to get my wife to exercise. I presented what I thought were some brilliant presentations, you know, to verbal presentations to convince her that she should be exercising. Never once did I ever convince her, and every time we got into an argument. And I would be embarrassed every time because I'd think, I knew this time the words I was using, it wouldn't cause an argument. It did every time, okay? Now, I stopped trying to change my wife 2 years ago. Totally off of her case. Haven't said a word to her in any area of her life that she should change, because I recognize you can't change people anyway, and the only person you can change is yourself. And so here's the hand signal that I use. If you put your hand in a gun shape with your pointing finger, your index finger pointing at somebody and saying, would you kindly change so I'll be happier? Well, I don't do that anymore with anybody because of what my son has been teaching me in these last 3 years. I pull that index finger in. If you notice, it comes in. Now I have four fingers pointing at me and one finger pointing up. And so what I say to me when somebody pushes my core fear now, what I do now is I say, God, let you and me change my fear. So I have to work on my love level, yeah, wherever I am in my maturity level, and I work on the logs in my eye, and that's the only person I work on, and it's God and me. So my hand is my thumb pointing up to God and four fingers pointing at me. Guess what? When I got off her case 2 years ago, within a year, Jim, she was exercising.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It still is today.
Yeah. Well, it's a great concept. I know in your book you say it's never just about the other person.
Exactly.
And yet, you know what? It's not easy to do. I want to give you a scenario, and I want you to, you know, counsel us here on radio.
Sure.
I was talking with a family not too long ago. They said the spouse or the wife, the mom,
right,
she basically is pretty needy. She's pretty high maintenance.
Sure.
And I know the family a little bit.
Sure.
I would probably agree with that.
Right.
Everyone in the family knows it. But her, when they confront her, she shoots right back at them and pretty much says it's their fault and really doesn't do the work that she needs to do.
Exactly.
So they're saying, hey, we're frustrated because we're trying to do our work. We realize some of it's on us.
Right.
What do you suggest to those people?
Well, first of all, if the husband came to me, I'd say get off her case totally.
Mm-hmm.
You work on yourself. Watch how influential you'll be in her life. If you just work on yourself, first of all, here's the greatest part of this book. This is chapter 4. There's nothing more life-changing to me than this. It's not what other people do to me or say to me. It's not what circumstances I face every day, whether it's good or bad. It doesn't matter anymore to me. Now, what controls my emotions is what I think about what people say and do to me and what the circumstances are in my life. It's what I think about after these things happen to me. I control my emotions from my own thoughts, because my emotions are reflections, basically, of my thoughts, which develop into beliefs and attitudes and so on, so that I know that I'm responsible for how happy or miserable or joyful or sad I am. So I get to wake up every morning empowered by God to choose what thoughts I'm going to have every day about anybody in my life. So
now, do you call this becoming the CEO of your life or
exactly,
something like that?
Exactly. Right. It's the power of one. And so if I was married to that woman, I would have my thumb pointed up to God, four fingers pointing at me. If she irritates me, I'd be thanking God for this lady because she's helping me grow spiritually.
Isn't that a great way to
look at it? Oh, it's so much fun.
It's fun, but it's also hard work because we're not made that way.
No, we're not made that way. That's why the Romans chapter 12 says, by the renewing of your mind, be transformed.
Be transformed, right.
By the renewing of your mind. But it's being really transformed by God's power. I mean, I can't do this on my own, so... You know my favorite verses the last 3 months? James 1:19. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then therefore you're going to be slow to anger. That's me. I just stop and listen to what's going on. What am I thinking? Like, now, let me give you a perfect example. This is both of those chapters put together. We're driving down the road. My wife was in a major car accident in high school. Two of her buddies were killed. A convertible went over a cliff in Whittier, California, rolled around down the hill, and all these kids were injured. She broke her neck, was in the hospital for a long time. Well, when she reminds me, almost every time we drive, are you going to pass that car? You're too close to the edge. You're speeding. You know, that used to irritate me, okay? It doesn't anymore. In fact, just yesterday I said, thank you, hon, because I'm getting used to it. I'm in the habit of it now. The reason why I can thank her is my thumb is pointed to God, four fingers are pointed at me. I just stop and reflect and say, why does she keep saying this? First of all, I'm never going to change her. I tried that for 38 years, and that doesn't work anyway. why is she like this? It comes to my mind instantly. That's because she had a car accident when she was in high school, and I just thank her for me working on me, because she reminds me that I am under control, God's control, and when she belittles me, I want to be humble, which is low-listing myself, which is having others more important than me. So she actually helps me spiritually when she's on my case or irritates me. So I don't want to change her anymore. She's actually my helper, God's helper, actually. And you know what? When I respond this way, she didn't say a word. Oh, I have a great story, if we have time, about my grandson that lives right across the creek from me. Picture this, 10-year-old kid, mother picking him up 2 months ago. I'm teaching him this whole concept. She picks him up at school, says, you have your homework. No, they leave the school 5 minutes away. He says, oh, Mom, I forgot my papers. It's due tomorrow. She starts ragging on him. He doesn't say a word. He's James 1:19. He interrupts her, Jim, and says, Mom, wait a minute. Thank you for what you're saying, because it just proves to me one more time how much you love me and want me to do well in school.
Wow.
She pulled off the road. She said, I felt like handing my purse to him and saying, buy whatever you want. You know, because you know what he knows? James 1:19, he's quick to listen. He said, now why is she yelling at me? Because she really does love me. We've gone over this so many times. This is Philippians 4:8-9. And it's so powerful that he controls his thoughts with that one verse. There's eight things in there that control your thoughts in those two verses, Philippians 4:8-9. And this is all in chapter 4 of our book, The DNA of Relationships. He's 10 years old. If a 10-year-old can get this, any of us can.
That is a great
Isn't
illustration.
Amazing? Yeah.
Gary Smalley, time has gone by so fast. Can you come back next time so we can continue this conversation?
I would love it.
Great. I appreciate it so much. Interesting enough that even a 10-year-old can get this this idea of really, in many ways, communicating better with, in this case, a mom, but communicating better with anybody.
And that's good advice and good to know. And we conclude this edition of the Homeward Broadcast here. That wraps up the interview portion. Jim's going to come back in just a moment and conclude the broadcast. But I want to jump in right here just to remind you that today's program is available online at homeward.com, where we stream audio. We also podcast through iTunes. If you go to homeward.com and hit the podcast button, you can start your free subscription today and never miss a program. We also burn audio CDs for you if you'd like. Include a tax-deductible donation of any amount when you write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go, zip code 92693. Include a gift of any amount. We'll send you that CD and get that in the mail to you today.
My guest today on Homeward has been best-selling author Gary Smalley, and we've been talking about how to fine-tune our relationships, especially our marriage relationship. I know that one of the first places to start when it comes to improving the marriage relationship is really to evaluate the communication you have with your spouse. Let me ask you a question. How well are you communicating, and what are you communicating? Well, one of the primary problems in a dysfunctional marriage is a lack of quality communication. Are you careful to consistently communicate love to your spouse, even when you don't feel like it? Well, there was a time not too long ago when I came home from work. I was absolutely exhausted. What I typically do is go into the kitchen, kind of help Kathy with the dinner if dinner's getting ready, and kind of make sure that the kids are working through homework and whatever else might be. But this time I just went and sat down. And really, I was the one who didn't come in and help. I just sat there. Kathy came over to me, kind of gave me a little bit of a back rub and said, looks like you've had a hard day. And in reality, I thought she was going to say, can you help me? Because I've also had a hard day. She works probably harder than I do. But instead, she said, why don't you just sit there today? And, you know, this is your day. And I'll get the food ready. And then she called one of the kids and they set the table and whatnot. And in a very small way, what she said was, this is your day. And I know you've had a hard day. She acknowledged and she empathized. And in many ways, that was the finest way she could have communicated to me that way, even though I wasn't putting a deposit into her life.
And that's the kind of sacrifice it takes to keep a relationship going strong, whether it's a marriage relationship or sacrificial love that's expressed in a family situation. And Jim, I know you've written about this as far as marriages go in your books, Creating an Intimate Marriage, and also the devotional book that you and Kathy put together not too long ago called Closer, which is actually more of a, what we call a faith conversation book. Not so much a quote-unquote, you have to do this every day devotional type of book. Both Closer by Jim and Kathy Burns and Creating an Intimate Marriage by Dr. Jim Burns are available for purchase in our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do make that purchase, a portion of the proceeds actually goes towards supporting the Ministry of Homeward. So we encourage you to check us out online at homeward.com. Look at any of the books that Jim Burns has written, and they're available for purchase there. And if you see something you like, you could just go ahead and order it right from us and help support the Ministry of Homeward. And we truly appreciate when you do that. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Kane. Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.